And so it is. Dear Chambra, that we would almost just prefer to sit here and listen to the harp music. And the heart music coming from each and every one of you. What a glorious gathering that we have here, once again on this mountaintop, once again in this very room, where so much Chambra energy has been moved and transformed, so many old walls broken down right here in this room. This is where we talk to you first about the very simple four words, you are God also. This is where we talked about the seven seals, where we've conducted many gatherings and workshops with Chambra from all around the world. And Tobias and our guests for this weekend, Katumi, Adamas Saint Germain, and Kuan Yin. We all have to chuckle a little bit, poke a bit of fun at Kauldra, thinking that he thought that no one would show up this time. And look, you answered the call to be here, whether you were here in person or whether you were joining us through your technology, you answered the call for this very important shoud. This is your shoud. This is your voice. This represents where you are in your life, in your teaching, and in your work. Chambra from all around the world are tuning in right now to join. In this very special shout, it's not part of the Clarity series. It's not part of the Teacher series. It is an experience. It is a remembrance and a forgetting all at the same time. But you are here. We have to take just a personal moment to note also, for you who are sitting here in this room, over to the left side of the stage. Now that would be your right human hand, unless you're sitting backwards in your seats. There's a beautiful painting. This painting is a representation and an energy imprint of a journey that started a long time ago. This beautiful painting, with all of its colors and shapes, what tells a story. The story started in the temples of Tien in Atlantis. That's where Chambra truly started. That's where we came together, wanting to evolve together into the next phase of humanity, knowing that things were in change and in transition. We worked together. We learned about ourselves. We learned about what family energy really is. We learned about how energy works, vibration. We learned about the potential of humanity, about all of the different scenarios that could possibly be played out over the next 500,000 years. And the story of Chambra continued. We picked it up shortly before the time of Yeshua, as depicted in the painting. Here the painting shows Archangel Raphael, the tall one. And it shows young Tobias, not just the one you know as Kauldra, sitting here in the chair, speaking on my behalf. Young Tobias is also a representation of all of Chambra, your journey, going through your fears, going through the difficulties, but knowing that you were choosing it, knowing that it was appropriate, and that it was your passion. So that is you, the young one, walking beside Archangel Raphael. Now, as you can see in this painting, for very deliberate purposes, the figures are faceless, so that It can represent you, the one sitting next to you, the Shambhra from across the world. Even Raphael is faceless because it can represent those beings who come in to work with you. And there are many. I, Tobias, Saint Germain, Katumi, Kuan Yin, and many, many others who come in to work with you. And then you probably noticed the dog. The dog was painted in the likeness of our dear Fred. Caldra and Linda's beloved pet, beloved friend, who is lying right on the floor on the stage today, taking part. He has much to say about what we're going to talk about. He's experienced it physically. We'll share with you in a moment. So the Fred in the picture, the dog in the picture, are the companions that you bring along with you in your life, the ones who support you in so many different ways, ways sometimes you don't even realize. Sometimes through your pets, sometimes through other loved ones. But the earthly support that you get on this incredible journey. Take a moment to feel the energy of this beautiful painting done by Anthony, who you will meet throughout the weekend. Feel the energy that it conveys. It is for all of Shambhra. And we have a special request for Caldra here. We're going to ask that, oh, he's going to argue a bit here, but well, he's going to ask that this, we are going to ask that this beautiful energy painting that represents this global affiliation of new energy teachers is hung in a place of prominence in the classroom, in your new facility at Lake Tahoe. And oh yes, we had much to do with picking that location. We apologize for all the difficulties you went through, but it was never intended that Shambhra go to Reno. So we're going to ask that this painting be placed in the classroom in the Shambhra Service Center at Lake Tahoe. And the reason why Caldra is arguing is he paid for this painting out of his own pocket. But dear Caldra, perhaps you will begin to understand a little bit better how the money just flows. Spend it. Spend it. I mean, we know Linda's cringing a bit here too, but it flows. So, Shambhra, we are gathered here once again in a very beautiful and sacred energy at this wonderful conference on top of the hill, joined by Shambhra from all around the world. Before we get into the actual delivery of the message, we want to point out something about the world situation right now. Something about walls. Gaia doesn't like walls, you know. She'll find a way to tear them down one way or the other. The energy of Gaia is meant to flow openly and freely. It's not meant to have walls dividing countries and dividing consciousness and dividing people. And as long as this wall continues to be built in my land of Israel, as long as they try to keep the others out, there will be difficulty. There will be bombings. There will be riots. There will potentially be wars. So using this moment on this stage, with all the energy of Shambhra, we're going to ask that these walls come down voluntarily so that they don't have to be ripped down. The walls separating the land of Israel and the Palestinians is causing the aggression right now. Oh, it shows up in a variety of different ways. It shows up in certain groups getting very angry, but it could also show up in Gaia trying to help humanity to understand that you can't build walls. The same goes for the lands in Korea. The lands of North Korea, that oddly enough represents the energy of Lemuria, an abused energy of Lemuria, an energy of Lemuria that is sad, that is calling out for attention. And as you know, a young child will do anything it can to get attention, anything. Because the old energies of Lemuria have felt very shut off. One comes up in very insidious ways, and throwing a few rockets here and there, making threats. But the wall needs to come down. The people need to be able to move back and forth. They are brothers and sisters of an angelic order, and they can't be separated. And the energy of South Korea, representing an old and beautiful order from the days of Alt or Atlantis. We're going to ask you, our dear Chambra, in South Korea, to help move the energy so that the walls can come down without Gaia having to do it, without wars taking place. And then there are consciousness walls all over the world. In Africa, there are walls that separate those who have money and power and those who do not. And the ones who have money and power are reaching through that wall and feeding off of the others, and holding them in a state of weakness, where they have no spirit, where their creativity and their passion has been taken away. That's a wall also, even if it's not necessarily physical. Gaia doesn't like those walls either. They need to come down, and opening up all over the world, the walls between religions. Religions put walls around themselves to protect and to defend, but it is time for all of those to come down as well. And the walls inside of each and every person that have kept them from being wholly integrated in body and mind and spirit and any of their other aspects. It's time for those walls to slowly, gently melt away. Because if the internal walls stay up, it's not the energy of Gaia that comes in to shake them up. It's the energy of your own physical being, your own bodily planet that will shake them up. Your body doesn't like the walls of consciousness, and it will respond with disease, with you being tired and confused. So here, gathered with Chambra, as you begin to take your walls down, it also helps to create the consciousness for walls all around the earth to come down. I want to place a particular emphasis right now on this land of Israel, lands of the Palestinians. The more that you try to build the wall that separates the city and the country, the more problems you're going to have. It's a simple message and a very simple solution to a family problem. Now, dear Chambra, let us all take a deep breath together. We're going to be covering some information here in the next 3 days. Tobias will start the process. Kutumi will come in to assist with it. Saint Germain will come in to break down any walls that remain. We drew straws. He created the best one, I would say. In the next few days of time, we're going to ask you to really let yourself go to a different space. The material we're going to be covering is simple, but it's also a paradox. It is simple and it is also a riddle. We're going to be talking about something that you already know, but you don't know at all. We're going to be talking about something that gives you clarity and is also going to confuse you. We're going to talk to you about something that your mind will readily accept, but then it's going to reject. We're going to talk to you about something that has to do with taking down walls and changing your life, and also giving you a new form of life. As you know, the changes come gently and slowly, as to not overwhelm any of the balance between any of the systems in your body, mind, and spirit. Sometimes we know some of you want to go very, very fast. But as we've told Chambra before, back about 8-9 years ago, there was a small group of Chambra who volunteered to see how fast this Chambra consciousness could go, to see how it held up. And this group, none of you here in that group, but this group went very, very fast. They wanted to test. They wanted to see how the systems held up and how they broke down. They were the Chambra crash dummies. This group of Chambra gave of themselves willingly and freely. It was their love and their choice before they came to Earth. They knew that they were going to be doing this. They went very, very fast. Test the threshold. They've all since passed. They're all back on our side. And this group is all here this weekend as a guest also. They're helping sometimes to slow you down when you're trying to push too fast. You see, there's a continual balance that takes place, continual. The balance in the body with the mind, with the spirit. They're always balancing each other. If anyone gets out of balance, it will cause the others to be thrown out of balance as well. And then you have some very interesting problems. So this group assists you sometimes when you want to go very, very fast. And yes, they also assist you when sometimes you get stuck, help to push you out of the mud. But they know there is a rhythm, a tempo, and a pace that you can go at and still maintain the integrity of all your systems. We're going to be talking about systems this weekend. We're going to be talking about the rebalancing of a system. We've asked that there not be any other channels this weekend, although we love channeling with the dear ones, such as Oama, usually. Kuan Yin, we love channeling with Mark and White Eagle. We love channeling with the archangels, Michael and Raphael. But we have a very special energy that we've laid out along with you for this weekend. No other channelings besides the three that will be delivered as part of this conference. We're going to be asked that for those of you who are giving facilitation sessions this weekend, listen carefully, for any of you giving facilitation sessions this weekend, to drop any method that you've been using. Don't pull out any necklaces, beads, crystals, anything of the sorts. Don't use any of the old methods, what you've been doing before. We're going to ask you to be very present in the now with those who you are sitting with. It's not even going to be a facilitation session. It's going to be different. You're going to learn something very important as a facilitator and a new energy teacher. And the one that you're working with in your sessions is going to learn something very profound and different about themselves. So let go of the way you've been facilitating. Pay attention to this shroud, and you'll know exactly why. You'll know exactly what to do. Unlike most of the conferences and workshops, we've also asked that there not be any type of guided meditations from this stage or in private. You'll understand in a moment. We've asked, and we underline with an exclamation point, that there is no activations going on this weekend. There's nothing to activate. Nothing to activate. I'm going to ask that you let all of that go for the next 3 days, Chambra. It's not appropriate for what we're going to go through here. So, let's take a deep breath. Wonderful. Let's talk about the components of your being here on Earth. You start with the body. You start with the body. It's the most, how to say, the most rudimentary part of the balance that you have. It's a physical vessel. The word body literally means cask or casket. Your body is what allows you to do things in matter, in 3D. Your body is also, how to say, the vessel that allows you to feel things like emotions and pain. It allows you to have a sensory device so that you can taste, so that you can hear, so that you can live within your experience, so that you can live within your creation. If you were just in angelic form, it is very difficult to experience your creation to the extent that you can do when you're in a body. So the brilliant architects of humanity, you and many of the other angelic beings, designed this thing called a body so you could live within your creation and experience it in a way that angels can't even experience it. It is a beautiful vessel. It is a very important part of your journey. We've said this before in other shouts. You never want to reject or deny your body. When you do, it will respond. It will start shutting down. It will cause disease. It will cause certain types of imbalances that make it more difficult to live on this planet. So your body is the first component. Then there's your mind. Very interesting thing. Angels don't have minds. They don't use brains. The mind comes from an old Greek word, mind. Mind. The word mind literally means to tend to keep organized, to watch over. And that was the function of the mind, to store the data for the body, for your experience on Earth, to hold that information and to bring back that information when it was needed. The mind serves a very important function right now. The mind stores your information. The mind also helps you to make practical and wise judgments. But again, as we have said so many times before, the mind has been overworked, overstressed. The mind has been given too many responsibilities, and it doesn't know what to do right now. So much focus right now in the schools is placed on the mind, on the brain, on things like IQ. And this is causing a tremendous imbalance on a very individual basis, but also in a consciousness basis. The mind isn't a bad thing. The mind is not where the ego is. The mind is just trying to do what you've asked it to do. But it is taxed and it is overworked. And there's a third component, the spirit. The spirit is a Latin word, spirare. In culture, that's not very good Latin. Challenges of channeling, you know. Spirit is a Latin word that literally means breath. Breath. That is what it means. The breath of spirit. And it's interesting because spirit is probably the most misunderstood word of anything that we can think of. There's so many different concepts of spirit and what it is and what it does, and humans tend to assign a human value to spirit through their various gods and deities. They tend to give it a very human persona, and they give it all the power. They give it all of the dominion over themselves and over humanity. Humans set up many different gods, many different sub-gods. There's been a great distortion of this whole concept of spirit. Spirit is just life force, the breath, the original. Spirit and the breath mean birth, movement of energy. The spirit also involves all aspects of yourself. It is the total being. The mind tries to understand, now what does that mean, total being? It tries to understand things like your true self or your higher self. Those are all distortions. They're all coming from a smaller place, coming from a mind that's desperately trying to understand this concept of spirit. Somewhere within you, you know that there is a thing of spirit. You know that there is a life force within you that is yours personally. You know there is one life force or spirit within everything. Some of you even know that the life force within you is unique to you. Many still think that the life force is one large homogeneous energy, and it is not. It is not. Spirit is very personal. Spirit is very much in you. But right now in the consciousness of humanity, spirit is so misunderstood. It is so distorted. So it is time to really let go of that wall. To understand, or even to admit that you don't have an understanding of what spirit is. At least not a complete understanding. An understanding that would give you a whole new perspective of yourself. The understanding of new understanding of spirit that would allow you to see yourself and all of the aspects of yourself now and how they work together, play together, and now it's time for them to come together. So we have the body, we have the mind and the spirit, but there's something missing. There's a missing piece. You've known it, and you've looked for it, and you've cried for it, and you've tried to recreate it. It hasn't been there, and in a sense, it couldn't be there until now. We had to go through 7 years of discussions and shouds. We had to go through a series of doorways before we could get to the point where we could discuss this missing piece. Imagine for a moment, most of you are sitting in chairs. Imagine if your chair only had 3 legs instead of 4. What happens? Well, you learn to adapt and adjust. You learn how to sit in just such a way that you don't turn over. Your muscles in your body compensate, and the mechanisms of your mind go into their mode to make sure you're positioning yourself in just the right way. And after a while, you forget that there ever was a 4th leg. You now are working in a reality that is 3-legged. But yet, there is always that underlying nagging feeling that there's something missing. But you've compensated for that missing piece so well, you've ignored it or pretended it wasn't there, that now your reality is 3-legged. No offense, Fred. So, that is how humans have been operating for a long, long time. You see, when the original plans that were created in the order of the Ark, this is the council of the archangels, the archetypical energies that were used by angels to come to Earth. order of the ark. There was a beautiful architecture or design to what we would call the biopsycho nature, the biological and psychological nature of what was going to become humanity. And this design included four aspects. Here we are back to the number four, because four is balance. Four is balance. Four is also duality squared. It is new energy. So in the original design of the biopsycho nature of humanity, there were the four aspects, the body. There was also the mind. There was the spirit or the life energy. And there was another component, a beautiful component, called De Unast. It was shortened over a period of time to be known just as Nast. But the original pronunciation was De Unast. De Unast is the missing piece. And it's going to be very difficult to explain, because we're having to explain it in human terms and language. I have to explain it in something that the mind can somewhat comprehend and accept. But even as you sit here right now, even as you listen to this shout, you know that it was missing. De Unast was the piece that you missed. The piece that so often, when you were confronted with a difficult situation, caused you to struggle. That missing piece wasn't there and you were trying to find it. The piece that's caused you many times to wonder why things are so rough and difficult. Why sometimes there you have this continual struggle. Sometimes you feel like you're crawling through life on your knees across rocks. De Unast is also the core of passion in the human existence. It's the fourth piece. It's not spirit and it's not the mind. The best way to explain De Unast is that it is knowingness, but not knowingness from the mind. It is creativity, but not creativity from the mind. You see, right now, even for those of you who are artists and musicians, you use creativity, but it is saccharine. It is artificial. It is being created from the mind. There's literally a lobe in the mind where creative energies can flow and be manifested, but it is not De Unast. It is not the true, what you would call, creative ability. So this missing piece, Nast, this missing piece is the piece, the component that is creative and that is knowingness. It's not intuition either. It is the ability to bridge between the non-physical realms and into the crystalline realms and bring that energy and that consciousness down into the earthly realms. It is the ability to very rapidly manifest dreams using the balance of body, mind, Nast, and spirit. But that piece has been missing for a long, long time. And it's time for it to come back, but in a different way. We're not going to go back and activate the old Nast. We're not going to go try to dig it from the depths of wherever it's been hiding. It's been hiding for a reason, and it wants to come back in a different way now. So you might ask, so what happened to Nast? Where did it go? Why was that leg of the chair taken away? To understand that, we'll go back to the energy of Atlantis. We'll take a journey together, if you're willing to, back to the times of Alt. Alt, the original name of Atlantis. Alt was the second era of humanity. As most of you know, Lemuria was the first era. Lemuria was the time that the angelic beings began coming into matter, descending their angelic energy, taking on physical form, integrating with what you would now call the third dimension or the physical reality. That was the first era of humanity. And then along came Alt, Atlantis. And Alt was a time, it lasted many, many, hundreds of thousands of years of time. Alt was the time where we truly began to develop the whole human identity. We were getting more comfortable being in a physical reality. But yet, in Alt, bodies took on all sorts of shapes and sizes and forms. Some angels were incarnating into tiny, tiny little bodies the size of a fly. Others were incarnating into physical beings the size of large buildings. So in Alt, we wanted to commune together. We wanted to standardize. It was a desire. It was a choice. So in Alt, and most all of you here had many, many lifetimes there. It's kind of a true home on Earth. In Alt, we began to work with the body and the mind to try to standardize and conform, to try to create a oneness, a conformity, to bridge our energies together. A lot of work was done on the physical body, going into using energies, not electric energies, but using types of energies that are not around right now, vibrational energies, to go into the DNA and to start changing the body. So that when the being reincarnated, it would carry a different type of coding with it. And eventually, all of the bodies would be relatively standard. There was work that was done in the physical body that included what you would now call a type of surgery. But the surgeries weren't done with knives. Surgeries were done with very precise types of light tools. Your lasers today are very crude imitations, very, very crude imitations. But these light tools were used to cut, and graft, to change and to rearrange the bodies so that you didn't have to wait in between lifetimes to start manifesting a more common look. I point to the word common and commune. Because it's important to understand for many of you, you've tried to go into commune, and it generally doesn't work, not very well. And there's a reason. There's a reason. First of all, it brings back too many memories of Atlantis and things that didn't work out so well there. But also in this era, the fourth era of humanity, it's not intended that you go into commune. Communes tend to be, feeding buffets for those who are partaking. They generally start off with very high and inspired ideals, dreams, but what tends to happen is the humans in the commune start feeding off of each other. Many times, very inappropriately, when we look at the energy of many of the communes, many of that start off with such a wonderful and clear ideas, you'll find that there is a sexual imbalance that begins to take place in the communes. And they don't generally work out, especially for Chambra. Why? Because it's about finding the God within, remembering who you truly are by yourself first, by yourself, developing your own ability as teachers, understanding you having to live with you without deferring to others. So in the days of Alt, there was much work that was done on the bodies that is literally woven in or coded into the DNA. We're going to say one of the things that we're going to do this weekend is let go of some of that old coding so that your body can really get back to some of its pure energy and pure essence. Some of you have been plagued with types of sicknesses or diseases, illnesses for a long time because you continue to carry forth the coding from Atlantis. And it comes to you in many different ways. It is a memory from Atlantis that stays with you. Sometimes it flows through your genealogy or through your family tree, through the bloodline, but it finds its way to you. And sometimes, Chambra, this coding has caused your body to be something it wasn't really designed to be. This coding sometimes even comes in a karmic form, and it causes your body to be distorted. It causes your body to shut down in certain areas. It causes you to take on a look in your face and in your physical features that truly isn't you. So one of the things that's going to come out of this profound gathering these next few days are some physical changes in your body. It's going to start in your eyes first. And it's going to make its way through your face and through the rest of your body. It's not going to happen overnight. We don't want to scare the bejesus out of you when you look in the mirror. There'll be gradual changes that begin to take place because we don't need that old coding anymore. But what we really want to talk about is another type of coding that took place in Alt, in Atlantis, particularly in the last few incarnations of time that you had there before the fall of Atlantis. There was work that was being done to standardize the mind. There was work that was done so that all humans would have the same approximate mind capacity. There was work that was done to increase the ability of the mind to store information. And there was much work that was being done to increase the ability for the mind to sense on a third dimensional or material level, for the hearing to improve and the eyesight to improve and all of these other things. There was work that was done with light tools on the mind. The initial work was wonderful. The initial work was done so that those who didn't have the mental capacity of others could share at the approximate same level. The work was done to increase the ability of the mind because as the body was adapting better and better to a physical reality, it was felt that the mind needed to increase its abilities and to be able to adapt just as well. So there were many, many experiments, a lot of research that was done to conform the mind, to standardize it. You have to understand all this time that the element of spirit was not really understood. Back then, the alchemy of Atlantis was to try to find the source of life force energy. But spirit, as you know it today, and religion as you know it today, were not part of the Atlantean consciousness. There was no understanding, no concept of God. There wasn't a word to describe God. The alchemy or the search was to try to discover what caused life, what fueled and energized life, what was the source. So while many of much of the research was being done in Atlantis on the mind, there were many that felt that the source of life or spirit came from the mind as well. So that there was research, there was experiments, and there was also very inappropriate misuses of energy in mind control. Back in Atlantis, many individuals and many of you who are here allowed this work to be done on your mind, allowed artificial walls to go into place, allowed redirection of energies in the mind, closures of certain aspects of the mind. There was a programming that went into the mind that essentially allowed the mind to become hypnotized. Hypnosis was not even applicable before this mind control work took place. You couldn't mesmerize anybody until this mind control, and there were implants that were put in to the brains of many beings. And there were those who, in power, who truly loved this idea because they saw that it brought about a conformity and a standardization. It also kept some from going too fast and others going too slow. But it also allowed groups and eventually all of humanity to be able to be hypnotized, controlled, limited. There was this Atlantean implant that went into many, 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 too many. And eventually, because of this, this flowed even into the ones who didn't have the implants. This implant of mind control was so strong that it actually seeped out into the consciousness of all. And even if others hadn't had this type of mind control or brain surgery, it eventually found its way into consciousness of everyone. And it still exists today. The conformity of the mind, the ability of the mind to be directed and hypnotized and limited and controlled is still around today. Saint Germain has talked about it in Syncretize. And he talks about the lies of the mind, the lies that you tell yourself and the lies that are inflicted into your reality landscape. And the reason why is because of these mind control experiments that took place in Atlantis. Eventually, were the main reason for the downfall of Atlantis. But it stuck. It stayed with. There are some whose mind control and the mind surgery was so extensive that they continue to come back lifetime after lifetime, what you would call a state of being mentally retarded. They have never gotten out of this state because of the work that was done. In between lifetimes, they stay in their mind even though they don't have a body. They find themselves in the near-earth realms, in the gray astral realms, picking up another body anytime they can, incarnating back, but once again, mentally incompetent, out of their mind, but not in their spirit either. So the influence of these experiments in Atlantis were very strong. That is why, as the Crimson Council, we've always said, don't do affirmations. That is a form of mind control. It is from the mind and it controls the mind. And it takes away the innate creator ability that you have. We know we've gone against many of the, other types of new age philosophies when we say no affirmations. It is your own mind control. And it doesn't work very well either. Even visualizations tend to come from the mind. And what you do is you just tend to re-trigger the old Atlantean mind implants. You are visualizing from your mind. You are limiting yourself, you are hypnotizing, and you are lying to yourself when you do these things. We've often said that anytime you work with someone, it's not about trying to control the mind. It's not about trying to implant limitations. It is about always being open. because of the work that was done in the mind control and the body control back in the days of Alt, that affected so many of you, Shambra. You left the communities, you left your families and loved ones and mates and children, and somehow found your place to what we now call the temples of Tian. You knew that it wasn't right. You knew that these controls and the standardization were not any longer appropriate. They had gone too far. They were causing too much damage. And what had been a beautiful and loving land of Atlantis, or Alt, was now turning into a place of control and misuse of power. So you left your places of security. You left your communities, and somehow found your ways to the temples of Tian. And the temples of Tian, we work together to try to undo so much of the mind control and the body control work. In the temples of Tian, we worked with energies that would allow us to shift into other dimensions, and in those other dimensions, release some of the controls that had been placed on you and on all of us. And to a degree, some of these were very successful. We discovered something in these multidimensional states. We discovered that when we shifted out of normal 3D reality, that we could begin to release this body control and mind control and continue to progress and advance as individual, angelic, and God beings. But we found it very difficult to bring that energy from the other realms, that freedom from the other realms, back into the physical, back into the 3D world, because the consciousness was so strong. The consciousness of Atlantis almost provided a wall or a block that kept us from bringing back that type of physical and mental freedom back into our reality. So we existed together for a long, long time. We existed in an altered state of consciousness. We weren't 3D. We weren't totally 4D. We created our own dimension. What was happening in overall consciousness at the time was that this imbalance of the four legs of the chair, the imbalance of the four aspects of self that was designed on the angelic levels, was now being distorted because of the conformity of the body, the control, and the experiments of the mind. This fourth leg, Nost, just began to fade away, because it wasn't being used anymore. It was being blocked off. Deunast went away. It went out of the reality. It wasn't used anymore, because now everything was placed in the mind, and also the focus on the body. There was an enormous amount of work that was done in Atlantis in what we would call body beautiful. It was trying to perfect the physical body. It was narcissistic, but it was also, in a sense, it was a bit of fun trying to make the physical body absolutely perfect. But while all of this was taking place, the imbalance caused Nost to disappear. And there are many, less than appropriate leaders in Atlantis that liked this to go away, because it took away, when Nost went away, so did the individuality of the person. When Nost began to fade away, as the mind took more and more control, it also reduced the ability to create, to manifest. It made creation very difficult. It made it a struggle. And pretty soon, humans in Atlantis stopped trying to create. They just followed. They just followed what they were told to do or asked to do. They didn't go out on their own. They didn't explore and create. They just followed. They went into a long type of sleep, a long dream state, where they just followed energies. And it's been taking place ever since. You see, without the fourth leg, without Nast in place, it is very difficult to create. Everything becomes a struggle. You're missing a piece. It's time to bring Nast back. But it brings up some very interesting dilemmas. It brings up a paradox, because Nast also is a big stop sign. It's a big warning. You were programmed, in a way, to not have it anymore. It became a no. It became something you shouldn't have. Even back in Atlantis, those who were beginning to accumulate power and take over began to turn Nast into evil and call it darkness. Yes, even today, your churches perpetuate that. They don't really truly know what Nast is, but they know they don't want it. They don't want people to have it, because it gives people creator ability, and it gives them freedom, and it gives them the bridge back between humanity and spirit. It gives them back their own creator ability. There are many who are in power today in churches and in governments that would fear the return of Nast, because the individual would have back their total balance, body, mind, Nast, and spirit. So it became a no. It became a negative. Take a look at the word Nast itself, assuming that in English it is spelled G-N-O-S-T, means knowledge and wisdom in some schools of thought. Nast also was abbreviated into no. Not necessarily no as in knowing something, K-N-O-W in English, but N-O, no, stop, don't go there. So there's been placed a tremendous wall, a barrier, and a fear in Nast, and going back to that. You've tried to go back again and again, and in the past week of time, knowing Ashambra, what we're going to be talking about today, you've been trying to bring Nast back. Some of you have had some restless nights. Some of you have had difficult journeys getting here. Some of you have been going through tremendous levels of anxiety. Some of you have been having nauseous feelings, or even, your body seeming to reject everything. Because you see the big stop sign. No, you've been programmed. You've been programmed in the mind, and you've been programmed to not use Nast anymore. You see, there's a complete contradiction in the terms, a complete paradox in everything about Nast. If you take a moment, I'm not going to ask you to force anything, just take a moment to feel that fourth leg. Its energies have always been there, but have been very elusive. When you were trying to do something, a project or a new endeavor, and you were trying to reach out, where is that missing energy? Where is that link? How come I can't seem to make it manifest? How come it's always a struggle? You go, in a sense, searching for Nast, but your mind tells you it's not there, it doesn't exist. You're fooling yourself, you're full of yourself. But yet there's something deep inside that kept on saying, but I know there's a missing piece. What is it? What is it? What is the holy grail of myself? Oftentimes you would defer to spirit, your version of spirit, not the truth of spirit, but you defer to us, Tobias, Saint Germain, Kuthumi, help bring this in. Spirit, help bring this in. Help me to manifest it. We can't. Sometimes you would defer back to your mind. You would struggle trying to figure out all the angles, all the aspects. And generally, you wear yourself out. And then you give up. You surrender. you get frustrated and you go back to old consciousness, back to following. These 3 days have been set aside by you and by us to allow Nas to return back into your life, to allow that fourth leg of the stool to come back. But it's going to come back in a different way, so don't go searching for your old Nas. It's going to come back in a different way. You're going to be challenging yourself and perhaps even others to try to define it. A few of you are going to say you already have it, and I can assure you, you don't. Your mind is playing games on you. Because when you get Nas, when you bring that balance back into your life, it creates a glow, first of all. It creates an ease and a grace that you haven't known since the days of Atlantis. It creates a simplicity and a clarity that defies any words that I could say. It is cosmic and it is human all at the same time. It is the bridge between your crystalline, your internal crystalline realms, your creative self, and your human self. It is the missing stepping stone that was taken out, that kept you from easily flowing energies back and forth between the realms. Now, we can't do it as a group. We can't do a group activation. We can't do a guided meditation in Nas, because what's going to happen is your mind is immediately going to try to create it. And if we do a group guided meditation, you're also going to be deferring to others to do the pulling for you. It is a very individual and a very personal thing. We can tell you from seeing your energy that Nas, that the creative knowingness, not intuition even, creative knowingness is ready to come back. It is time in your life, you have gone through all of the other things, it is time for that missing component, that piece to come back. If you go searching for it, you're not going to find it. This is a paradox. If you do nothing, it won't come. So for the next 3 days of time in particular, and it could go on longer than that, but we're going to create if you choose, you're going to create a personal energy that allows the creative knowingness to again come back in and rebalance your life. You're going to very possibly feel an effect in your mind and in your physical body. They're not used to it. They're not sure what this energy is. We're going to ask you not to panic, not to try to place the blame on whether it's something you ate or something you did or anything else. Just understand that you're here with Shambra, and you are here. You are here letting this missing piece come back. Come back different. We're going to ask you not to try to go on some type of lucid journey back to Atlantis to reclaim Nas. We're not going to ask you to try to go back and undo any of the sometimes brutal surgeries that were done in your bodies and mind. You can't. That was. We're going to ask you to create your own sacred space, to create your own way of bridging for Nas to come back to you. It will be different. It will be unusual. And again, you're going to potentially find yourself in this whole mental battle and this whole mental dilemma trying to bring it back. And when you get to that point, when you get into all this internal struggle about trying to define Nas and trying to search for it, just take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. I can't tell you how to do it, and that is the frustrating part. Because the moment I do, it will disappear again. It will go into hiding. I can't give you a formula because there's not one. It's very personal. There are no methods to do it. There is not any type of incantation. It's up to you. It's up to you. But what a perfect place. What a perfect opportunity. As we're here somewhere between the Clarity series and the Teacher series, to discover and to rediscover Nast. Continue to live and enjoy life for these next few days. Don't get too concerned about it. And we're going to ask you in particular not to get too serious. Seriousness will cause Nast to go away, because seriousness comes from the mind. We're going to ask you, when you're talking with each other, please don't try to tell others what Nast is. Because that is your experience, and it is important for them right now to have their experience with it. You can't push it. You can't manufacture it artificially. And I can't say any words to try to help you, other than to say that Nast, this brilliant, creative knowingness. It's not even appropriate to use that word, because it is so much more. But Nast is the missing piece that allowed the grace and ease of manifestation, realization of dreams. Instead of dreams being held out in the astral realms, Nast brought them in. It is a beautiful thing, and it's something that I dearly am looking forward to each one of you experiencing in your own way. And again, if you have expectations that it's going to be this large lightning bolt or this overwhelming spiritual type of orgasm taking place, it's probably going to elude you. So you are set with here with one of the most paradoxical, interesting challenges that you've had in a long time. Now, the beauty of it is that it will change your life. It will change how you live. It will change how you create. And instead of all of these struggles, I'll use the example of the whole struggle with the Crimson Circle Energy Company to find the right way and the right building and the right people and resources and tools. That was a wonderful example to those who have been working on this of what it was like before Nast. As Nast even takes its place in the new Crimson Circle company, everything flows different. I don't want to say any more right now, because your minds are going to work. You're trying to intellectualize Nast, and it cannot be. I'll give you a few more hints. Some of you have thought or wondered about this thing you call the inner child. It's an aspect of Nast. Some of you have wondered about this whole thing of your creativity. It's an aspect of Nast. It is very personal. It is not your heart energy. It is something different. It doesn't exist in your body, but it is all around you. It is part of you. Only you can integrate it back into your reality. Only you. That is why I ask all other facilitators, let go of your old methods. Let go of your old ways of practicing. For this conference with this group, they're going to be undergoing a very interesting evolution. If you want to facilitate them, just breathe with them. Some of you already do that, don't you? Just be with them. Give them your love. Give them your compassion. The one other thing I can say about Nast is that it is the core of passion. It is the fruit of the rose. It is the expression of passion on the earthly levels. So, with that, Chandra, it is time to let that energy flow back into your life, but only you can do it. We'll continue tomorrow with Ketumi, the day after that with Saint Germain, with your many other presentations, and the wonderful energy of Chandra here in this gathering. And so it is.